morning. What a wonderful, wonderful morning this has been. Wonderful baptisms, celebrating life change. Can we praise God one more time for these wonderful young lives that he's impacting right now? Thank you, God, for how you're moving in these people's lives and through Mercy Vineyard Church. Today, we're going to continue our series called Walk with Jesus by diving back into the book of the Acts of the Apostles. So if you have your Bibles, would you open them up or turn them on to Acts chapter number 16? This is actually a part two from last week's message. If you weren't here, make sure you go back online, YouTube, or on our website and check out last week's message from this chapter. We'll continue starting at verse number 19 of Acts chapter 16. I'll be reading from the ESV. It'll be on the side screens if you would like to follow along there. But when her owners saw that their hope of gain was gone, they seized Paul and Silas and dragged them into the marketplace before the rulers. And when they had brought them to the magistrates, they said, "These men are Jews, and they are disturbing our city. They advocate customs that are not lawful for us as Romans to accept or practice." The crowd joined in attacking them, and the magistrates tore the garments off them and gave orders to beat them with rods. And when they had inflicted many blows upon them, they threw them in the prison, ordering the jailer to keep them safely. Having received this order, he, the jailer, put them into the inner prison and fastened their feet in the stocks. About midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the prisoners were listening to them. And suddenly, there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken. And immediately, all the doors were opened, and everyone's bonds were unfastened. Holy Spirit, we need you. Would you fill this space with your divine presence and power? Would you shake some things loose that have been holding us back, holding us down, keeping us, preventing us from being all that you've created us to be? God, we pray for freedom today. We pray for new life. We pray for your light to shine in a mighty and powerful way in this room in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Have you ever been in the dark? Yeah. You can close your eyes right now and you can get there. It's an easy place to get to. I'm in the dark. The dark is an easy place to navigate to. But have you ever been in darkness that you couldn't control? If the power were to go out right now, all of us would be in darkness. Some of us, I know what you would do. You would grab your mobile device and hit that button, flashlight, right? So you could see right in front of you. You would use your flashlight to see in the dark. Others would run chaotically to the stairs, trying to get out of here. Tripping over other people, kicking people, knocking people down just to save yourselves. Then I'm sure that there would be some people who would make their way to the emergency exits. You see, I'm going to point them out for the fire department to let you know. These are the emergency exits that lead right outside in case you ever need them. Some people would make their way to the emergency exit to open the door to shed natural light into the room so that everybody could see. What does it mean to be in the dark? You see, some of us have been in the dark before. Some of us have been in dark places in our lives. The dark When we experience darkness, we feel like we're overwhelmed. When we experience darkness in our lives, we feel like we're unable to move forward. We feel like we are lacking direction. We feel like we are overwhelmed, overburdened. The darkness is suffocating us like someone burying us alive. Have you ever been there? You see, your enemy, your spiritual enemy, is often responsible for turning the lights out all around you, or sending someone to do the job for him. He is doing that or helping you to get to a dark place so that you can be distracted, so that you can be distracted from your destiny. Because God has a plan for your life. And he, a spiritual enemy, the devil, can see a little bit further than you in the spiritual realm. And he sees that if you connect with God and you get to where God wants you to be, oh, man, you're gonna be something to deal with. And so he's going to shut the lights off in your life to try and slow you down. Many of us have experienced bondage, darkness. And such is a story that we see in today's scripture. Last week, we talked about this slave girl, which is just two verses before this passage. This slave girl who was in bondage, right? She was a slave. She was in bondage physically. She was in bondage financially. She was in bondage spiritually, because the text tells us that she had this spirit, this demonic spirit of divination. And then Paul shows up. And Paul speaks the name of Jesus to the spirit that was in that girl and set her free. Set her free financially. Set her free emotionally. Set her free physically. Set her free spiritually, so that she could live a life that was all that God had called her to live. Freedom comes in the name of Jesus. If you didn't know, call on his name. That's what that song is all about. They couldn't have done a better job picking songs. The Holy Spirit is in that thing, I tell you. I didn't tell them what I was preaching about. But her masters in the text that we read today are pretty upset. They're not happy about this. Because any time that you free someone from bondage, somebody's going to stop making money. Ooh, ooh. Listen, Paul freed her from bondage. They can't make a dollar anymore, so they get upset and they turn their attention from their property to Paul and Silas. And they make a citizen's arrest and they drag them in the town and they present them before the magistrates. The magistrates are the town judges. And they put them before the town judges and watch this, starts ratting them out. You ever had somebody rat you out? I thought you gonna tell on me. Paul and Silas are then sentenced to jail, sentenced to a beating. The text tells us that the magistrates themselves ripped their clothes off. They stripped them naked. They are now, Paul and Silas, bare and beaten and bruised and bloodied. And then, to make matters worse, the jailer enters the scene. The magistrates created this judgment. They had these guys beaten, and then the jailer comes on the scene, and they give the jailer instructions to, watch this, keep them safe. Isn't that what the text says? But the jailer decides to exercise police brutality. And he takes them beyond their sentence, because he doesn't just put them in jail, he puts them into prison. Now, I don't know, some of y'all might have been there, so I'm not going to call you out. Some of y'all know the difference between jail and prison. They were sentenced to jail. The jailer put them into prison. The inner prison, matter of fact, that's what the text says. That's under the prison. That's where there is no light. There is no access, and it is a dungeon. It's not like modern prison. There's no bathroom in there. There's no light. There's nothing but shackles and dirt. Have you ever been involuntarily pushed into the darkness? Have you ever been involuntarily pushed into a dark place? You might be there right now, experiencing the darkness of life, that there feels like there's no freedom, that feels like there's no light, it feels like there's dirt on top of you, that feels like you're in a jail cell and there's no light and there's nobody coming to visit. Maybe you recently lost your job and you can't seem to find another one. How am I going to pay these bills? Maybe someone near you and dear to your heart lost their battle with cancer or some other medical issue, and you don't know how you're going to make it without them in your life. Darkness. Or maybe the darkness of your circumstances is so overwhelming that you feel paralyzed by anxiety and depression. You're unable to function day to day. Every one of us has a dark place. Maybe you're in that place right now, chaotically clawing, trying to get yourself free, chaotically reaching for some type of relief, searching for and grasping for something familiar to orient you. God, why won't you break me out of this prison that I'm in right now? I thought you loved me, Jesus. Why am I going through this? Why am I experiencing darkness? Have you ever asked yourself or God that question? I thought you loved me. Paul and Silas are in a dark place. But not only are they in a dark place, they're in a dark time. Because you read the text, it says it's midnight. Midnight is the darkest watch of night. Darkest place, midnight. Midnight is a compound word. A compound word meaning the middle of night. If you are in the middle of something, it means you're in between two things. If you're in midnight, it means you're in the middle of night and day. You might be scared of the dark. You might be scared of your dark place, your dark situation. You might not know what's going on, but if you know that it's midnight, you know that midnight is the start of morning. Hey, Psalm chapter 30, verse number 5 says, weeping may endure for a night, but it's joy that comes in the morning. You just got to hold on for a little while longer. You just got to sleep. Go back to sleep now. If it's midnight, sleep for another 3-4 hours. Get some rest. Get some peace. Step away from everything and stay in that dark place for a minute because the sun is about to shine. Midnight. This is a good word for somebody. Because you might be experiencing a dark place in your life. And you need a reset in your life. God, can you push the reset button? Have you ever reset your phone? Watch this. If I'm resetting my phone because it's not working right, oh, it's acting funny, it's acting stupid, I go and reset my phone. As long as it's powered, it'll restart. As long as it's got power in its battery, it's coming back to life. As long as it's got power, I can push that button all day, but it's going to come back. As long as you have accepted Jesus Christ, you got the power of the Holy Spirit living on the inside of you. And sometimes you just need God to push the reset button because your midnight is about to be over. You see, sometimes good things happen in the dark. Did you know that? Good things can happen in the dark. Did you know? Oh, I'm not supposed to cross this line because of the lights. Hey, everybody online, I didn't welcome you. Glad you're here. Good things happen in the dark. Y'all know babies are conceived in the dark? Well, I mean, I wasn't looking about it like that. But yeah, I guess so. Listen, We got children's church over there. This is the adult church. Bring it back. But a baby, watch. Reset. I need to reset. It's midnight. It'll be light soon. Got to go through some darkness. But every embryo has to live for 9 months in the dark. Why? Because that embryo needs to develop. You got to develop some things in the dark. And aren't you glad that sometimes the dark doesn't feel good, but sometimes you got to look at that dark as a blessing from God. Because sometimes you need some development. Sometimes you need God to pull you aside and work on you. Sometimes you need God to close the door and put you behind closed doors and work on me, God, so I can come out better than ever before. But watch this. Sometimes God will put you in a dark place to keep you out of sight of your enemy. It's a beautiful thing for God to pull you out of the limelight sometimes, because if your enemies could see how God is about to bless you, if your enemies could see what God is working on the inside of you, if your enemies could see all that God was about to do in your life, they would be out there trying to thwart God's plan, out there trying to corrupt God's plan. But sometimes God holds you back until the right time to let you go. And you can fly in freedom. Be patient. God's got something for you. Be patient. God's got a new day on the horizon. Be patient. The sun will shine in the morning. Good things happen in the dark. Sometimes you'll never enter into your new beginning until you go through a period of darkness. Anybody ever been to the movies? No, two people been to the movies. All right, anybody ever been to the theater? You been to a play? You been to a show? Okay, all right. Thank you. Somebody's got a life. If not, let's get a field trip. We get a bus together and take y'all to a movie. I mean, I expose you. There's a whole new world out there. Moving pictures on the screen, yeah. Every movie theater, every show, every play, every entertainment you're about to go and see, watch this, gets dark before the show. It doesn't get dark because the show is over. It gets dark because the show is about to begin. God's got a new show ready to release in your life, and it's starring you. And he's about to release that thing on Netflix, Hulu, and everybody else. God's got a new show, a new day, a new life for you. Matter of fact, Revelation chapter 21, verse 9 says, behold, I'm making all things new. And that includes your life. That includes your situation. That includes your family. That includes your finances. That includes your emotional state. That includes your mental health. That includes whatever you're going through. Jesus is working on it behind the scenes. That might be the reason why God hasn't brought you out of the dark yet. Because he's developing you. He's setting up the props. He's creating a whole new scene so you can make your entrance victoriously. Yeah. Paul and Silas, right? They were miraculously rescued from prison. But I believe that there are some points in this passage that are pertinent to our walk with Jesus, especially when we find ourselves in the dark. So why don't we take a look at them, especially if we're looking for some deliverance. Point number one is this. Make sure you have a prayer partner. Don't live in this life alone. God didn't make you to live in this life alone. Don't think that you can pray alone. Praying alone is good, but prayer is better when you got somebody else praying on your behalf. Come on now and preach. Maybe your situation is dark and you have lost all sense of hope. Maybe you feel overwhelmed or overburdened and you don't know what tomorrow is hold. Get your what tomorrow holds. Get yourself a prayer partner, somebody you can trust in, somebody you can rely on, somebody who will lift up the name of Jesus on your behalf. Because sometimes you don't have the words to say. Sometimes you're so depressed, I can't even get out of my bed. I need such sister so-and-so and brother so-and-so to lift my name up in their prayer. I'm only here today because somebody prayed for me. I'm only existing today because my mama and my grandmama and them, somebody lifted my name up when I was acting a fool out in these streets. And God kept me and delivered me from so many things in my life. You need someone who will pray for you. You need someone in your life who will pray with you. You need someone who will help guide you to a place of Christ-centered change. That's why we got prayer teams after service. We have prayer teams that are up here at the front ready to pray with you about anything you have going on in your life. But sometimes we get shy. Sometimes we don't want people to see us. Oh, nobody care. Nobody think about you. If God is moving your heart, I need prayer about this thing. You better go get prayer. Don't take that thing out with you. Release that bondage. Release that boundary and let be free in the name of Jesus. Listen, not just the prayer teams. Don't put all the burden on them. Praise God for them. But you're sitting next to some people right now who you should be asking to pray for you. Somebody in your section, somebody in your row, somebody sitting behind you, somebody sitting next to you. Guess what? Talk to them. That's a new thing. Get their phone number. Ask them out to lunch. Pay for their lunch. You can afford it. Go to Taco Bell. This is not an advertisement for Taco Bell. I'm just trying to say something that you can afford. Y'all go to lunch and talk about some stuff. Let them get to know you and you get to know them so that y'all can know what to pray about. You need somebody to pray with you. But, Brother Mark, I'm having trouble with this passage, man. I just got to confess to you. See, I'm reading the English version of this passage. I'm having some trouble. See, maybe it's me. Because I saw a shift in the text, a shift in the personage of the text. And it's weird, right? Because I know Luke wrote this passage. Y'all know Luke, one of the gospel writers, right? A whole book named after him, Dr. Luke. Because he wrote the Gospel of Luke, and he also wrote part two, which is the Acts of the Apostles, the book we're reading right now. But Luke wants us to know, he makes it very clear in this chapter that he's a part of the ministry. He makes it very clear that he's a part of the miracles that are happening. He makes it very clear that he has been called to preach alongside Paul and Silas and Timothy. He makes it very clear. Verse number 10. Immediately we sought to go into Macedonia. Oh, first person. He part of the deal. Okay, Luke, I see you. You are here representing. Concluding that God had called, watch this, us to preach. All right, Luke, walk in your calling, brother. Verse 13, and on the Sabbath day, we went outside the gate to the riverside where we supposed there was a place of prayer. And we sat down and spoke to the women who had come together. Oh, verse 16, as we were going to the place of prayer, we were met by a slave girl who had a spirit of divination. Then he gets to verse 19 and says, well, Paul and Silas, they, right, were seized. Paul and Silas, they were the ones that went to jail. Paul and Silas, they were the ones that got beat down. They're the ones that got stripped naked. They're the ones who got the lashes and got the rod. Paul and Silas took the whooping. Verse 23, he goes on to say, and they were had inflicted many blows upon them. They threw them into prison. Luke, where you at? I thought this was a we. I thought this was us. I thought we was boys. I thought you was the homie. I thought you was ride or die. Some of y'all don't know what I'm talking about. Friends, they were close buddies. Luke, I thought you was down for the cause, Luke. But Luke, where were you when we was getting this beat down? Luke had his mobile device out. He was on Instagram. Luke was out there typing up the story for the Facebook post. Luke was out there recording the video of him getting locked up, right? For TikTok. I'm going to post this later. Luke is out telling your business instead of being by your side. Ladies and gentlemen, may I suggest to you that you need to let go of the Lukes in your life and start sticking with the Silases. Now, no offense to anybody who named their kid Luke. They called me out in the last service like, oh, my child's name is Luke. Or Luke, my friend. No offense. This is Luke in a text. Some people are just in your life for a good story. Some people are just in your life for a good time. Some people are just in your life to get what they want, when they want it, when they want it. Watch this. But as soon as trouble shows up, they conveniently disappear. You need people in your life who are going to stick with you come hell or high water. You need people in your life who are going to stick with you no matter the ups or the downs, through the thick and the thin. You need a partner in your life who's going to pray with you, who's going to protest injustice with you, who's going to get into good trouble with you, who's going to stand on your side in the times of trouble, who's going to go to jail with you if necessary. Talk about real friends now, real friends. You need a real prayer partner. You need Silas by your side. Someone who's going to be there for you no matter what, and you're going to be there for them no matter what. That's a partner. Yeah. Point number two, make sure you remain devoted in the dark. What can you do to prepare yourself for your next period of darkness? Or what can you start doing if you're experiencing darkness right now? There's something you can do. I would suggest you train yourself by devoting yourself to discipline. Discipline. We don't like that word, discipline. Discipline. If you're gonna ever lose weight, you need some discipline. If I'm ever going to stop eating Chick-fil-A, I need some discipline. If I'm ever going to get better at anything in my life, I need some. If I'm ever going to grow spiritually and be closer to Jesus, I need some. Ooh, God. Might I suggest that you start practicing spiritual disciplines now, because your real you comes out in the dark. What do you do when the lights turn off? What kind of person do you turn into when nobody's home? Who do you become, or what activities you engage in, or what do you start doing, or what do you start talking about, or what you start watching, or what sites you start going to when the lights go off? It's the real you. There are many different ways for us to practice spiritual disciplines, but the one that I want to talk about is prayer. So Paul and Silas did. They prayed and they praised. But I don't have time to go into all of the details of prayer. But hey, take a picture of this. Google the different ones. You can see how to engage in the different types of prayer. Because guess what? Maybe you grew up and your mama taught you that you got to get down on your knees before you go to sleep at night, and you got to pray. Now I lay me down to. You ever been there? How you gonna pray before you go to sleep? Quiet now. Half of us wake up at 3:00 in the morning, we still on our knees. We never finish that prayer. Why don't we pray when we're alert? Pray when we have time. Pray when we have a moment. Schedule your prayer. Put it on your calendar. Make it a priority. Make God number one. Yeah. He didn't ask for your whole day. Give him a little bit of time. Create, watch this, a habit. Because when you do something as a habit, when you're missing it, oh my goodness, your life feels weird. Right? Make prayer a habit. Find out a type of prayer that works for you. I love the Lectio Divina, where you could read through a passage of scripture slowly. You know, that's one way I prepare for the sermons, because I can read through it slow. And as I read through it so slow, man, God just like lifts words out and picks things up. And I'm like, oh my goodness, I never saw that in the text before. I've been reading this all my life. But it's always something new that God shows. Now, we want to stay devoted in the dark, and we want to keep developing the habit of prayer, because if we do, we will be prepared when darkness comes. We will be prepared when disaster strikes. We will be prepared when we have to make a difficult decision. Your devotions in the dark determine, watch this, your deliverance. That's what Paul and Silas did. And so, therefore, we need to stay dedicated to the divine. That's point number three. Paul and Silas locked up in the inner prison. It says they locked their feet to the foundation of the prison. So they couldn't move. They couldn't walk. Can you imagine having to go to the bathroom? There ain't no going to the bathroom, or you got to hold it. They are locked down, feet locked down with bonds on their feet. And suddenly, the text says suddenly, God sent an earthquake. While they were praying, while they were praising God, while they were in their dark place, while they were giving, watch this, they're in the dark place giving God their attention. Not whining and complaining, why me? God, you are glorious. If you bring us out, praise God. If you don't bring us out, you are awesome. And they're praying and praising God in their dark place, and the Holy Spirit shows up and shakes the foundation of the prison. So much so that everyone's bonds were loosed. I don't know if y'all saw. Everybody who was bound was set free. See, when you're in trouble, let me go here first. God might send trouble to get you out of trouble. You see, sometimes we pray to God and we tell him how to get us out of trouble. God, it'll only work if you do this for me right now. And God said, who are you? Are you going to tell me what to do? I created you, formed you after my likeness. I took dirt and blew into you and gave you life. You gonna tell me how to do my job? Right? Oftentimes we think God is our butler. When the role is reversed, we're his butler. We need to do what he tells us and commands us to do. He is King of kings, Lord of lords, God of all. But sometimes he will send something to break you free that you were not expecting. You know why I knew Paul and Silas didn't expect this? Because, watch this, when you look into the Greek of the text, the word for earthquake in the Greek is aphlo. I'll tell you exactly what it is if I find my place in my notes. A-P-H-N-O, aphno. I said, well, what does that mean? It doesn't just mean earthquake. It means unexpected. So Paul and Silas encountered something that they did not expect, meaning they did not pray for an earthquake to set them free. God used something else to come and set them free, something they weren't expecting. Watch this. But an earthquake could have tumbled the whole prison. But God didn't allow that to happen. God used the earthquake to set them and everyone else in that prison free. And some of us need to be praying to God to shake some stuff up in our lives. God, I need you. I don't know how you're going to do it, how you're going to break me free, but God, would you shake up some stuff in my life because I need to be set free in this area of my life. Somebody needs to call on the name of Jesus like they did to shake up some trouble in your life. Maybe, God, will you shake up the trouble that's in my marriage? God, I need you to come and shake up the trouble that's in my health situation. God, would you come and shake up the trouble in my finances? God, would you come and shake up the trouble in my family? God, would you come and shake up the trouble in this job search? God, would you come and shake up my troubled child who can't get themselves together? God, would you come and shake up my emotional pain? God, would you come and shake up my relationships and my loneliness and my mental health and my disbelief and my disappointment? God, would you come and shake something up in my life? I need you to show up in a way that I'm not expecting. And I think the power of this passage is this: if we stay dedicated to the divine, the Holy Spirit will worry about your deliverance. You just stay committed. You just stay dedicated. You just make a habit out of prayer. You just read your scripture. You continue to focus on God. You keep serving in the church. You keep coming to church and don't let the sunshine or the snow or the weather prevent you from coming. You participate in fellowship. You continue to dedicate yourself to the divine. And he said, I'll worry about breaking you free. You want to be free? Dedicate. Devote yourself. But listen, this I'll wrap it up here. Prayer, worship team, y'all can come on up here because I'm going to tell y'all this and I'm going to get out of here. You see, it's illegal. It's illegal to put a Roman citizen in prison without a trial. It's illegal. Paul and Silas were Roman citizens. They could have evoked their Roman citizenship at any point in time. When they ripped their clothes off, they could have said, hey, I'm a Roman citizen. They would have had to stop. When they were beating them with the rods, they could have said, hey, I'm a Roman citizen. They would have had to stop. When they locked them up and put them in the inner prison, they could have said, hey, I'm a Roman citizen, and they would have had to stop. But they didn't stop them. You know why? Because when you know who God is, sometimes you allow yourself to go into the dark place because you know some other people in that dark place. And if God allows me to get in that dark place, every soul that comes in contact with me is going to get free. Does that sound familiar to you? Does this story sound like somebody else you know? Because one Friday, my Lord Jesus went to a dark place. He was beaten and bruised and bloodied. His clothes was ripped off and he was embarrassed. He had a crown of thorns put on his head. They hung him up on a cross, embarrassed and in the public eye. And he said from a dark place, my God, why have you forsaken me? And he died on that cross. They took him down from that cross and put him in another dark place, into a borrowed tomb. And he stayed in that place, but his midnight didn't last that long. Because on the third day, early that Sunday morning, he got up with all power in his hands. Power to deliver you from your darkness. Power to give you salvation. Power to deliver you from whatever is binding you and oppressing you right now. Jesus Christ has the power to set you free. So the question is, do you want that freedom? Are you willing to walk with Jesus in the dark? God, I don't know where you're leading me, but I know it's up out of here. Are you willing to be devoted in the dark? Are you willing to dedicate yourself to the divine? Are you willing to, before you leave here today, secure a prayer partner? Talk to somebody, connect with somebody who will lift your name up to Jesus this week. He said, you willing to do that? I'll pull you out. And I just might send some trouble to shake some things up in your life. Will you stand with me? Jesus wants you to be made free. And that's why this is a continuation from last week, because he said this whole chapter is about freedom. Read it when you get a chance, the whole thing. Because not only did Jesus come through and set the slave girl free, not only did he come and set Paul and Silas free, but that jailer that exercised police brutality, that jailer that put them in the inner prison, that jailer who was treated them so bad, at the end of the day, he said, what must I do to be saved? And him and his whole family got saved and baptized. God can bring not only you out, he could bring your whole family out. So we're going to worship. I'm going to invite the prayer teams. Come on up. I'm going to pray. But I want you all, why aren't we worshiping? If you're bound by something, if you're overwhelmed by something, if God is nudging you right now, I think that he wants you to get prayer, personal prayer, private prayer, where the Holy Spirit can be invited into your situation and break you free from whatever is holding you back from being all that God has created you to be. And what did he create you to be? He said, I came that you would be free, and free indeed. So Holy Spirit, would you come? Would you bless this time of worship? Would you have your way? And would you release the chains that are holding us back? Break them now in the name of Jesus. Amen.